This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. The Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education announced that the government targets 33,000 schools in underdeveloped, frontier and outermost areas to receive digital learning assistance. He noted that these 30,000 schools included early childhood education, community learning activity centers, elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, vocational schools, and special schools. The Indonesian government is focusing on three development agendas in villages to encourage economic equality and achieve the sustainable development goals. The three priorities are village development, women's empowerment in the village community, and increasing food security through sustainable practices. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Musik ini goyangkan tubuhmu dan kita bergembira. Yang tua dan yang muda semuanya sama. Kita di sini tiada berbeda. Kita bersatu dan juga bersama-sama. Goyangkan tubuhmu dan kita bergembira. We can sing together and dance. Come on, we can move together and dance. Come on, let's have fun together and dance. Come on, party on forever. Hilangkan prasangka yang memisahkan kita. Tunjukkan pada dunia kita punya cinta. Sekarang saatnya. One, two, three. I can dance. Come on, we can sing together. I can dance. Come on, we can move together. I can dance. Come on, let's have fun together. I can dance. Come on, party on forever. ikuti irama dan tuman musik ini. Goyangkan tubuhmu dan kita bergembira. Yang tua dan yang muda semuanya sama. Kita di sini tiada berbeda. Kita bersatu dan juga bersama-sama. Goyangkan tubuhmu dan kita bergembira. Come on, we can sing together. Come on, we can move together. Come on, let's have fun together. Come on, party on forever. Bersama-sama satukan semangat kita. Hilangkan prasangka yang memisahkan kita. Tunjukkan pada dunia kita punya cinta. Sekarang saatnya. One, two, three. Come on, we can sing together. Come on, we can move together. Come on, let's have fun together. Come on, party on forever.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sahabat sejatiku, hilangkah dari ingatanmu di hari kita saling berbagi. Dengan kotak sejuta mimpi, aku datang menghampirimu. Ku perlihatkan semua hartaku.
Hey, tak selalu berpendapat kita ini yang terhebat. Kesombongan di masa muda yang indah. Kau pun raja, aku hitam, kau pun hitam. Arti teman lebih dari sekedar materi.
Pegang pundakku, jangan pernah lepaskan. Bila ku mulai lelah, lelah dan tak bersinar. Jangan pernah lepaskan. Bila ku ingin terbang,
terbang,
terbang meninggalkanmu.
Ku selalu membanggakanmu, kau pun selalu menyanjungku. Aku dan kamu, darah abadi. Demi bermain bersama, kita dua.
rasakan segalanya. Merdeka kita, kita merdeka. Dan tak bersinar remas sayapku, jangan pernah lepaskan. Bila ku ingin terbang, terbang meninggalkanmu.
Voice of Indonesia listener, today I'll discuss a song by Katon Bagaskara. Ignatius Bagaskoro Katon, better known as Katon Bagaskara, is an actor, composer, songwriter, and singer. He is widely recognized as the lead vocalist of the music group Club Project. However, in 1993, he also released a solo album titled Katon Bagaskara. One of the standout tracks from the album is Negeri di Awan, a song he created and produced with his older brother, Andre Manika. Negeri di Awan conveyed the meaning of a loving relationship that adds true color to life. The song also portrays the beauty of the highland in Dieng, Central Java, often referred to as the land above the clouds. Listener, here is Katon Bagaskara with Negeri di Awan. Happy listen.
Diri. sedih.
Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session Indonesian Wonder Miscellany Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs International Musical Entertainment as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners and viewers, this is Rahma presenting you our special interview from Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia. And today, we talk about Australian and Indonesian films that we can watch in the same event. Australia, Indonesian Film Festival or FSAI is the answer for you who would like to watch films from Australia and Indonesia. So to talk more about the event held by the Australian Embassy and Consul General in Indonesia and also about the film industry itself, we're having a special interview today with an Australian film director and academician, Dr. Dean Jerkup, who is already joining us here in the studio of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome to Voice of Indonesia, Mr. Jerkup. How are you today?
I'm great, Rahma. Thank you very much for having me. And it's been a pleasure to be in Jakarta for the last couple of days. We've had a really great time.
Oh, it's our pleasure as well to have you here in our studio. And first time here to Jakarta?
Absolutely. Second time to Indonesia. Like a lot of Australians, I've been to Bali, but first time to Jakarta.
First time to Jakarta to attend Australia-Indonesia Film Festival, but not only attend, because there's something special that Mr. Jerkup will present to filmmakers here. But we talk about the festival itself first, that is back in its 10th consecutive year. Here, this year in 2025, back with the best Australian and Indonesian films. So as a film director, how do you see this event can showcase a rich variety of Australian and Indonesian films, culture and creative talents?
Oh, look, I think, just the broad array of films that are screening and the diversity of those of the content that the general public can go and have a look at. There's five Australian feature films that are screening, two of which have a connection with Indonesian alumni, and that's just a great representation of the fantastic relationship that Australia and Indonesia can have in a cultural space in filmmaking. So yeah, that's just wonderful to see. So a collaboration on the exhibition side, but collaboration on the production side as well.
Okay, but besides film screening, there are also master classes here in this event, in which you also present the materials in the master classes. So could you explain about this program?
Yeah, so I specifically will be running a masterclass in screenwriting. The masterclass will be me cherry picking what I believe are probably the essential sort of like stepping stones for somebody, because the sessions are publicly available to anybody from beginner level through to maybe a little bit of experience. What I feel, just little pearls of wisdom, which, can help someone on their way and hopefully put some wind in their sails and turn a phrase I use as put finger to keystroke and start writing.
Okay, so the materials will be a script writing or any other topics or themes will be presented?
For me, it's specifically script writing. There are other masterclasses running as well. And one of those looks at the transition transition from writing a novel into a screenplay,
and
that will also be conducted by a really well-known Indonesian writer who is also has also has experience in connection to Australia as well, and it's been a very successful film also in Indonesia. The title escapes me right now, but it'll be screening at FSAI.
Okay, yes, from novel to films, I think that's one of the hardest things to do, and sometimes I do not really meet the expectation of the readers and filmmakers. So we'll be finding out in the masterclass.
Yeah, it's absolutely a challenge, and but at the same time, I do feel that when done right, it can service both needs.
Okay, so the film screening, the master classes will be free for public.
Mm-hmm. And you can find out more information on the FSA website, which is fsai.id.
fsai.id. So we'll be screened, and also we'll be held the master classes in 10 cities.
Correct, yes. It's traveling festival and 10 cities across Indonesia.
Plus one city, I guess, because previous year it was only 9 cities, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so very good news for listeners happening to be in Indonesia. Okay, and talking about film directing itself, we're curious, maybe we can have a little bit master class here.
Sure.
About the basic skill that we need to be a scriptwriter, film director, or a video editor. Maybe our listeners are also filmmakers or want to be filmmakers.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think what's amazing in this current era is that all the tools at the disposal to make a great film are really available to anybody in the general public. So there's an expression that we have these days that you can, instead of needing to do it from the outside in, you can do it from the inside out. What I would say with respect to screenwriting, directing, and video editing is that it's really interesting how those three connect. So from a video editing point of view, it's fantastic that if you do edit videos to begin with, particularly of other people's work, it can really inform you to be a director, because you know what shots do or don't work from the editing process of stitching them together. I actually worked as a video editor in industry for a number of years before stepping into directing, and how that informed my directing process was that I knew whenever I was editing someone else's work, where I would find challenges and difficulties, that when I started directing myself, I could correct those mistakes so that when I had my work edited or was editing my work, I would have the shots that used to be problematic. From a scriptwriting side of things, the thing with scriptwriting, or all of these disciplines really, they're lifelong journeys, but to be a great storyteller, you really have to be someone who, you know, loves to go out and observe life, channel that into your own stories, but at the same time, understand that life lived doesn't always make for the great story. It's then the way that you, the extension upon that, and create a singular journey for an individual, that then it becomes engaging for an audience, and you create obstacles. And we have an expression in screenwriting that the hero character needs to earn the outcome. So it can't be easy. And through those challenges, the audience identifies and engages with them. And that's what makes it relatable.
Okay. So does a film director have also to be able to edit videos and write scripts as well?
Yeah. I don't think necessarily it has to be a fundamental skill that they need. What I would say is it's advantageous. And the reason why it's advantageous is because it then allows the director, who, you know, in the hierarchy of things is kind of towards the pointy end, as we would say, it gives them an appreciation of all the other disciplines that feed into the overall filmmaking process. So myself, I've edited films, I've written films, I've sound recorded on films, I've done some basic visual effects, and it gives me an appreciation for all those different departments and how they feed into making the end result essentially the director's work, but it is also a collaboration as well. And so I would say to any aspiring filmmakers out there that just because you don't necessarily get the chance to direct on a project doesn't mean that you still can't contribute, and you can learn from being in those other departments, and it will make you a better filmmaker or director when you get the opportunity.
So if someone wants to become a film director, what to do first, the very first thing?
My advice would be to just get into the industry. In whatever toehold or footing that you can. Education is obviously very beneficial because that allows them to understand. So the education gives them a theoretical framework and potentially a practice framework from making films in an education environment, so that they can learn from their mistakes. And mistakes are good when the stakes themselves are low. So in other words, in an education environment, you can experiment, you can trial, you can prototype, whereas in commercial practice, you really need to make sure that the outcome is really strong. So education is good. Just getting out there and doing things is great. You can start, I would also say, start playing in the social media space. You know, TikTok, Instagram, these are all spaces now where filmmakers emerge. We have two really well-known filmmakers in Australia who made a very successful horror film that maybe some Indonesian viewers out there would know about, called Talk To Me. And the two brothers who directed Talk To Me, they started in YouTube, and they've gone on to do amazing things.
Just get into the industry. So many doors open nowadays, right?
Correct.
That after 20 years working in the film industry and be a lecturer or academician as well right now, how do you see film industry development in the world today?
That's a big question. it's really interesting. So it's very layered, more so than ever now. What we are seeing more and more of is shorter content. So what I also find really intriguing is we are seeing the content that people are making in social media blending into long form and Hollywood type filmmaking practice. So there's a lot of there's a lot of techniques that you will see in TikTok that are now being used in commercial cinema, which I'm finding is really interesting.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Like the what we call match cutting. So when you see an Instagram influencer or a TikTok performer where they're sort of cutting between all of their different wardrobe outfits or things like that, this is called match on action. And so I know the technical term that they're using, and that is a technique that is used in more traditional filmmaking practice as well. So we're seeing a lot of that. And we're also seeing storytelling changing as well. So by that, we're seeing a lot of the idea of the character-centered stories and original content versus things that are more branded and sort of comic book related and things like that are all, and world building is also a big thing that's happened over the last, say, 8 or 9 years as well. So when we talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and things like that, that is new to the world of storytelling.
Okay, so that's in the world. What about in Australia?
Okay, in Australia, we are still producing author-driven stories that are original content, and what we see in Australia at the moment is there's a great film that's just been released in Australia actually. The title of it's called Spit, which is a sort of light sequel to a really well-known sort of crime caper film that was made many years ago called Getting Square, which launched the career of Sam Worthington, which most of the listeners out there would know Sam from. He's the lead character in the Avatar films. So, it's amazing where the road can start with a small Australian film like Getting Square, and can lead to essentially the highest grossing box office film ever made in a very short period of time.
So the trend genre, movies genre in Australia,
Yeah, look, we again, it's a mix. So some of it is a personal story. But then, as I just mentioned before, like with a film like Talk to Me, it's in the horror genre. Mm. And I know the horror genre is very popular in Indonesia.
Yes. I think the most popular one, I think. And not talking about film industry in Indonesia, we have data here from Cinepoint that until May 9, 2025, the number of Indonesian film viewers has reached more than 33.9 million.
Wow.
Or 41% of the total viewers last year. So what do you think about this increase?
Look, film viewership, and specifically in the cinema, is fantastic. That community, that communal experience of going and watching a film with a group of other people shouldn't be lost. And so if the Indonesian community is going to the cinema and it's growing, I think that's something that should be celebrated. What I've noticed about my engagement in Indonesia is all the different communities can tell their unique stories, and there is a base that will go and want to watch them. And I think that is something that that Indonesia should celebrate, because in other areas around the world, the cinema going population is dwindling. It's decreasing. What I think is something maybe worthwhile just touching on briefly is the recent release of the Hollywood game film in Minecraft was a really unique moment in cinema, because it became a really, particularly in Australia, this social engagement where there was this thing on screen called the chicken jockey, and everybody in the audience celebrated that moment. And what was amazing for me at the end of the Minecraft screening, which I went and saw with my son, was that the general public audience applauded at the end of the screening. And I've never been to a commercial cinema and watched a Hollywood film where the audience applauded. It's always only been in the spaces of film festivals and places like that. So for those reasons, I think it's great that there is still a thirst to go and see or go to the cinema.
Is that the chicken lover part?
Yeah, that's that moment where everybody threw popcorn. Yeah. I chose the cinema deliberately where I thought they would not throw popcorn, because I didn't, but they certainly got up and cheered for all of that. And I think, you know, as a community experience or as a communal experience, this is fantastic. Like, so there should be more of it, and therefore that can only, it can't happen in your lounge room at the same level as it can with, you know, another couple of hundred people around.
Okay, and another thing that Indonesians should celebrate, that the film genre that we mentioned before is horror, is the most popular one here in Indonesia. But there is an Indonesian animated film that has reached 9 million viewers.
Wow.
So the second top-selling films in Indonesia. And it will be also screened in Southeast Asia and also Europe. So really proud of this achievement. So when it comes to the achievement of Indonesian and Australian film industry, do you think it means that there is promising opportunities for Australian and Indonesian film industry to collaborate?
Absolutely is my short answer for that. But I will extend upon it that I've recently been working with a bunch of Indonesian practitioners, filmmakers across a variety of different disciplines, and their thirst to find common territory for storytelling and what we would refer to as a co-production is that they have a high appetite to do that. And I think that given our proximity and given a lot of shared values, that its potential is, it's an easy fit, for lack of a better description.
Okay. And still talking about the film trend as well, there's also a remake or reboot. Maybe our listeners and viewers are still confused about the difference, or any that trend as well in Australia?
Yeah, There have been some films that do get remade. What I would say to the listeners out there that I find really interesting is that it's that in the musical space, in the live theatre space, it's not uncommon for the same musical to be made year on year almost, and there's an audience that goes out there and doesn't judge the production. They just enjoy going and seeing it again. And there does seem to sometimes be a little bit of defensive defense over remaking a film. Now, in some instances, maybe that it should stay sacred. But in other instances, you may want to think, well, what can someone else do with that? And perhaps keep an open mind to see what they can do. And if it's to their liking, or to the audience that goes and sees it liking, then fantastic. Then that reimagining is something to be celebrated. For those that perhaps didn't like it, well, then maybe they should just continue watching the original version as well. So it's tricky territory, and I don't think that there's a sort of black and white answer to it. But just keep an open mind about what you're going to see and the reasons why.
Okay. Now, a simple but tricky question about a good film, according to you.
Yeah, okay. This is a challenging question. And for me, a good film can be of any genre, as long as it speaks to its intended audience. Okay, so, and what I mean by that is that if you're going in, so there are certain people that don't like, let's use the example again, horror films, okay? Yeah. But if you're going in there because you want to have that primal experience of being afraid, then there's nothing wrong with a good horror film. If you're somebody who's a little bit lonely in life and that you decide that you just want to feel a little bit, have a sense of what it is to be loved and engage with that, then a good romantic comedy is going to, sort of uplift you a little bit. If you're feeling a little bit down and you just need something to pick you up, then a good comedy is going to do that. So I don't think there is an expression in filmmaking called four quadrant films. So normally in filmmaking, an audience is divided up into four quadrants. Generally, it's a younger population and an older population. Four quadrant films are very rare. When they do reach an audience and are successful, they're generally box office hits. But as I'll go back to it, you would go, or what makes a great film is because it speaks to you in a certain way. And when you leave the cinema, you feel better about yourself. You might feel petrified, but you went there for a reason, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. So, and to end our interview, please say something about Australia-Indonesia Film Festival to our listeners and viewers who are now in Indonesia, so that they can enjoy this festival, not only the films from Australia and Indonesia, but also the master classes and so on, please.
I'd just simply say, come on down. It doesn't matter that if you're a seasoned professional or if you're someone from the general public who we would hope is fascinated with how films are made right from the get-go, and we can talk about screenwriting, that there'll be something there for you either to watch or to learn from. And as I said earlier on, it's playing across 10 territories. So the chance and possibility of going engaging with it, there's plenty of that to go around. And if you'd like to know more, go and visit the FSA website, which is fsai.id.
Okay, noted. Highlighted and bold, fsai.id, to know more about Australian and Indonesian Film Festival from May 16 to June 2025. So, Dr. Dinsyirgop, thank you so much for sharing your information about this festival and also your insight about film industry. And hope you enjoyed our interview here on Voice of Indonesia, and also we'll be looking forward for the master class as well in the Australian and Indonesian Film Festival.
My pleasure, Rachma. Thank you for having me.
Well, listeners and viewers of Voice of Indonesia, that's today's special interview with the Australian film director and academician Dr. Dean Jerkop. And stay tuned for more inspiring and insightful talks only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Bila ku harus Gempal Gentong, a traditional dish from Cirebon that has been famous since the 17th century. It features a rich spice broth that is truly tempting. The word empal means beef, while gentong refers to the large pot used for cooking it. The beef is slowly cooked in a broth rich with spices such as turmeric, ginger, and lemongrass, creating a savory and slightly spicy flavor that delights the taste buds. Empal gentong not only offers tender meat, but also a culinary tradition passed down through generations, with each spoonful reminding us of the warmth and enjoyment of the past. Typically served with rice or lontong, this dish is often accompanied by sambal and crackers to enhance the experience. More than just a meal, empal gentong is an unforgettable taste experience. Enjoy its deliciousness and feel the authentic flavor of Cirebon.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Kilauan samudra terbentang katulistiwa. Ada bersamamu saudara, beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Karena kita Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetaplah satu kita, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
Waterfalls are located in Sragi, Sumber Arum Village, Songgon Sub-District, Banyuwangi, East Java. The waterfalls are part of protected forest. The waterfalls are famous for two stunning cliffs standing between the falls. The cliffs are made of huge stones. Surrounding the falls, there are other four waterfalls which are part of the Leader Waterfalls. The best time to visit the waterfalls is in the morning, as you can witness the beauty of sunrise at the waterfalls. The panorama of the waterfalls is outstanding. In addition, the waterfalls have cozy ambience and cool temperature. It is one of the places that you should explore if you travel to Banyuwangi. You can take public transportation, motorbike, and car to get to the waterfalls. The destination takes 45 minutes from Banyuwangi. There is not any facility at the waterfalls due to its location at the protected forest. You can park your vehicles at the locals' housing, which is about 1 km from the waterfalls. The entrance ticket of the waterfalls is 3,000 rupiahs. Meanwhile, you have to pay 5,000 rupiahs for the parking ticket. If you are passionate about adventure, you must visit Lider Waterfalls in Banyuwangi. The falls are extremely challenging to visit because you need to conquer complicated fields such as pine forest, clover, and sugar plantation, as well as steep cliffs.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.